Greetings, brothers and sisters. Blessings upon each one. Welcome to all you visitors and home folk. It's a blessing to have a week to seek the Lord together, and I appreciate all the anticipation I sense here. And may the Lord reward us as we diligently seek Him. Well, the topic that I have today and tomorrow, I titled both sessions, Money Matters. I had for probably 2 years, maybe a little more, had a burden to speak to us at one of these weeks on the topic of finances. And I had thought earlier that maybe I would go through a book like Charting a Course or one of Gary's books, something like that, if we would have it over a three-week period like we have sometimes with time for homework. But it hasn't really worked out the last 2 years. We've just had 1 week, I think, or the last two times we've had this. And but I was encouraged to go ahead and just share from the Scriptures. And I trust that that might even be better as we look at the Word of God. I think of a number of years ago, I know that when I began to look at what the Bible says about the topic of pride and humility, I got a concordance and began to study the words. And I was really amazed at what all the Scriptures had to say on that topic. And a similar thing happened here with this topic as well. And so, I don't want to stand here and share my words. I don't want to give you Levi's thoughts. But I know that's going to just sort of happen because I'm the one speaking. But I would like to go through the New Testament. There's the Old Testament. Proverbs has much to say about it as well, but I was amazed just in studying the New Testament, what it said. I came up with about 12 pages of Scriptures, as I took Scriptures and context, on the topic of finances. So I'll endeavor just to try to expound those to us and together just look at what the Bible says on the matter, what Jesus said on the matter of finances. So I'll go ahead and put the title here on the board, just to kind of keep us in tune. Money Matters. And that'll, so the subtitle for today, I'll have that, the overarching title for both days. But today, I want to, the subtitle would be, Do You Have Two Coats? And the title for tomorrow, I believe, will be Money Matters, Covetousness and Contentment. So give you a little idea of what we plan to do. So today I think we'll probably go through the teachings of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at we won't have time, I don't think, to look at all of those. And tomorrow I think we'll look maybe at some of the teachings of the apostles and some of the teaching of some of the early church fathers and some other people who over the centuries practice what I believe is biblical kingdom living, and it's what they had to say about it. So, give you a little idea of what we want to plan to do these 2 days. So, I want to say here on the onset that I appreciate the liberality of the brotherhood here. I appreciate the generosity, you know, how we've worked together and we've generously given to many things. I bless us for, bless you for that, us for that. And also, I want to be very, very careful how I share things. I do have some burdens on my heart, and I believe that's okay. But I've even this morning, as I got up and began to seek the Lord, I felt the Lord impress on my heart a scripture out of Proverbs. It says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." And yeah, I think there's right ways to say things. And I want to speak in a way this morning that gives health, that gives life, that doesn't cause reactions and rash things and that's something that won't last, but that we can have a proper biblical understanding that produces health. Health in our own lives, health in the body, as we align ourselves with the values of the kingdom of God. So I want to speak in a way that's not like the piercings of a sword, but a way that produces health. Amen? So you pray for me in that. I've sought the Lord for the ability to do that. And I realized too this morning that we're all in different places. Every one of us are in different places. Some of us are in a courtship and we have marriage in mind. And we realize that to get married is going to take some money. It's going to take a place to live. Some place for me to raise my family. And those are real things. And that's good and that's right. And the Bible teaches us to be responsible and care for our own. And so some of you might find that and you're saving up. And I think that's right. You know, but I think we can give as we save up. Some of us are maybe at a place of struggling with our family to make ends meet. You know, we're trying to get a business started and it's barely reaching around. And that's where we're at. And that's fine. We're trying to pay off a property and we're working hard. And that's good and that's right. God teaches us to be responsible. And so we find ourselves in different places. Others of us, like myself, have our places paid off. And then a whole new realm opens up to us. What are we going to do now? Now, where will I turn my focus? Now, what will I do with the extra I have? Will I continue to invest it in myself? Will I continue to increase my sphere, my kingdom, or my possessions? Or do I begin to look at my brother, the needy around me? Those are the questions that I want to impress on our hearts this morning. Does my focus continue to be on me, or does it go to others then? As my needs are met, as I have my food and clothing, or do I begin to dream about the many other possibilities that open up? You know, that's the fact that what happens when riches increase, there's all these possibilities that open up that I could do. I could do this, I could do that. What would God have us to do? So, my burden is, I think back to Brother Grady. Grady, when he was first here, he looked at where we lived in Casey County, Kentucky. It's a poor county. And he was burdened, and rightly so, I believe. He said, you know, if there's a church to start here, how will the family support themselves? He was concerned about that. And, you know, it's a real thing. We have to be able to support ourselves. And it was a challenge back then. But you know, as time has gone on, there's been things established. There's businesses that have prospered. There's many of us, we're doing well. And so, I guess, to express the burden that I have is, I think about the children of Israel as they came through the wilderness, especially that second generation. There was faith in God there. There was a looking to God for their battles, and they fought, and they trusted, and they relied on the Lord. But, you know, after one or two generations, then the promised land of drinking from wells they didn't dig, living in houses they didn't build, eating from vineyards they didn't plant, what happened? Lukewarmness came in. Their heart departed from the Lord. I think about the introduction in the Martyr's Mirror there, where the writer laments the fact that the days they live now are more dangerous than the days of persecution. Why? Because there's prosperity and ease came in, and their hearts wandered towards their businesses and away from devotion to God. I think about what the Bible says in Revelation about the church of Laodicea, who was rich and increased with goods, had need of nothing, and God says they were poor and lukewarm. I think about the scripture. Jesus says that those that planted, I think it's on the thorny ground or the shallow soil, I can't remember which one, says the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and they say they're not Christians. Is that what it says? No. They still name the name of Christ. They still hold his name, but they're unfruitful. So I had I knew this morning I faced the bare reality, the cold bare reality that I had too much material. I have to face this, and I just went through my notes and put big X's on whole portions of good scriptures. I knew I would not be able to cover my ground, and I knew that if I want to say what I want to say, I have to leave some things out. So I'm going to skip over some portions that I think would be very good to look at, simply because we can't get through. What time did I start? What time should I be done, Brother Mark? Was it about quarter after? 9:20, okay. Okay, so with that said, I'd like to go into our topic today, money matters. Do you have two coats? So I think for our first scripture, like I said, I'm skipping over numerous good scriptures in the New Testament here. But let's, for the first one, let's go to Matthew 11, verse 2. And we'll through in a chronological way. So hopefully that will help you not to have to turn back and forth so much. We can just work our way through the Gospels. Why don't we bow our heads for prayer? Father in heaven, here's your word, Lord, and here I am, your servants, God. Pray that you would help me to share these things in the right way. Lord, I pray that it wouldn't do damage to anyone, but Lord, that it would produce health. Father, Lord, I pray that we would make your values our values, Father. Father, I pray that you'd help us to continue to be a people that lift up our eyes to others, the poor, the needy, the suffering, the ones who haven't heard. Help us to lift our eyes off of ourselves and realize that you have some very serious things to say about these things. Father, I pray that you'd help me to say the right things in the right way. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew 11, verse 2 through 5. There's actually two scriptures that speak very similar here to this portion here. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said to them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. And this is what he said. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And I see in the scriptures that the poor brothers and sisters have a very special place in the heart of God and the heart of Jesus. They were the ones that God chose to be rich in faith. They're the ones that Jesus seemed to make a special effort to go and make sure those heard. Poor. God cares about the poor. He does. The poor seem to be favored. Jesus said, and this is one of the scriptures that I X'd out, but he says, blessed are ye poor. He said, woe to the rich. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor are favored by God. Turn now to Matthew 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Through 30. The story here of the rich young ruler. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said to him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. It stands out to me, the sincerity of this young man. This young man was serious. He was serious about his soul, brothers and sisters. This man was much more serious than I think many in his day were. He was concerned about making it to heaven. Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He was serious. He was seeking God. He came running and he knelt before Jesus, I think it says. Maybe one of the Gospels says he knelt. But Jesus says in verse 21, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I want to ask us, brothers and sisters, this morning, is Jesus for us or against us? He's for us. Amen. Does Jesus want us to be poor or does he want us to be rich? How's that? He wants us to be rich, does he not? He was giving the young man a hundredfold return. He says, you know, you'll just do this, and you'll have treasure in heaven. But the young man, but just like the young man, we tend to be too nearsighted. We look at the loss instead of the gain. You know, the young man was hanging on to his stuff, and therefore he was going to lose it all. If he would have been willing to just simply obey Jesus, he would have had treasure in heaven. And verse 29 says, shall receive an hundredfold. Now I would just like to look at what Jesus says here. He says, rich people have a hard time making it in the kingdom of heaven. I think we should allow those words to settle in our hearts. Would you rather be rich or poor? Ask yourself that question. And it stands out to me here, and this comes from brother, who's a popular writer? Who's the... Gary Miller, yeah. I was listening to him one day. And he commented here on this passage here. He said, look at how the disciples were shocked out of measure. And he asked the question. And I didn't get it at first, but as I thought about it, I got it. And I hope you can get it too. He says the teaching of Jesus was so radical to the disciples that they were exceedingly amazed. There was a value system that Jesus holds that clashes with the value system of this world. And it shocked them out of their, you know, just that they couldn't believe it. And Gary asked the question, you know, we profess to hold the teaching of Jesus, right? And so we endeavor to hold his values and make him our values. You know, we believe against divorce, remarriage. We teach against going to war. Those things shake our neighbors, don't they? They do. Our neighbors are like, you believe that? I mean, what if someone breaks into your house? You know, what if so and so happens? What if your wife just, you know, turns against you? I mean, you say I can't get remarried. You know, you say this marriage is adultery. I mean, we love each other, they're exceedingly amazed. But Gary asked the question, okay, if we hold to the values of Jesus regarding his when he talked about finances, why aren't our neighbors more shocked when they see our values of finances? You know, it seems like that's, you know, all the other areas, amen, they're shocked. But I'm afraid that many of our neighbors will look at us that we're pretty wise. And there is blessings that come with diligence, integrity, hard work. That is all good and right. But to not lay up treasure on earth, to not be worried about my future, to trust God with the future, to not set aside this nest egg, you believe that? That is strange to me. To not believe in retirement, to not continue, you know, I earned this. It's, you know, why can't I continue to enlarge my sphere even though I don't need more? You follow what I'm saying there? You know, shouldn't our neighbors face a little bit of what the disciples face if we really, truly embrace the values of Christ? Jesus will not have a divided heart. This man, young rich ruler, had a divided heart. Does Jesus still say things like this to us today? Was this only a once and a one-time thing that people were called to forsake and follow? Or does he still call people today? Does that call still come out? Sell what you have and give to the poor. Or have we watered down the teachings of Christ? Okay, let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Jesus depicts the judgment scene. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Just picture that in your mind. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. And the king shall say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee, and hungered, and fed Thee? Or thirsty, and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger, and took Thee in? Or naked, and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick, or in prison, and came unto Thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Isn't that beautiful? That we can do things for God today as we minister to the least of these, His brethren. He's still here, brothers. And the king shall answer, okay, then verse 41. Then shall he answer them on his left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and you gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me not in. Naked, and you clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited Me not. Then shall the king also answer, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And you know, we don't very often hear, you know, at revival sermons, or, you know, when preachers speak to us about Judgment Day and what we'll have to answer the Lord, we don't very often hear it preached in this way, do we? It's more, you know, we hear about repentance and faith, and that, amen, I am all for repentance and faith. But here we see that according to what Jesus taught, as we stand there on Judgment Day, it's almost like He's going to look at our checkbook register. And you know, I wonder if the Lord divides our checkbook register into three categories: needs, others, and self. You know, it's not wrong. It's not wrong for us to provide for our family. It's not wrong for us to pay off a property to meet our needs. But here was people that they could have ministered to, but they turned a cold heart against it. They said, self is more important than these needy souls. And that, brothers and sisters, is devoid of the love of God. You know, how can I say I love God? The love of God dwells in me when I hold to myself what can meet a need in someone else when I don't need it. So it looks to me, based on this here, what we do with our money is going to really matter on Judgment Day. Our attitude towards the suffering of this world. So I think it would do for us good to let that settle in our hearts. Those three categories, needs, self, and others. That, I believe, brothers and sisters, according to the Word of God, is going to be examined on Judgment Day. And will either justify us, come in, you ministered to me, or depart from me into everlasting fire. So I'm going to change my title here. Instead of how you probably took it, I'm going to put an exclamation point right here. Does that make it different? Money matters. Not just money matters, but money, brothers and sisters, matters. It will be an issue on Judgment Day. And it, according to my understanding of the Word of God, will justify us or condemn us. You know, I thought, as I meditated on the passage, I thought about illustration. How many of you are afraid of fire? Some are, some are not. I mean, did y'all have a fire in your house this morning? A lot of us probably did, you know. And so, you know, the question depends. It depends what you mean. Are you afraid of fire? Do you like fire? I like fire. I like lights in my house. I like a little candle. I like fire in my furnace out there. I like to sit around a campfire. And, you know, and I believe money, much like fire, we need it to survive. We know we have to have it to survive. But if it gets out of control, it can destroy us. Yes, I'll leave it at that. Money matters. Okay, turn now to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. I would like this scripture to be an encouragement to you, maybe who maybe struggle to make ends meet. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came in a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Look what Jesus said. She cast in it. In the economy of heaven, brothers and sisters, in God's value system, and I can't understand God's value system. It doesn't make sense to me. Humanly thinking, those two mites wouldn't have went very far into meeting some needs. But maybe in the light of her treasure in heaven, Jesus, in God's value system, she outgave all the others put together. Really, all the others, anyway. So maybe you can't. Maybe you hear the hospital bills, $190,000. You think, you know, I can only give a couple hundred dollars. What's that going to do? No, don't view it that way. If that's all you can give, that's all you can give. And give it unto the Lord. And God will not view that as a small thing. And He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And He's well able to meet our needs. Amen? Amen. And your treasure in heaven can be great, yea, even greater than those that write out big checks. So don't be discouraged if all you have to give is two mites, clink, clink, into the treasury. And she gave sacrificially. It wasn't just out of her excess. This morning I struggle a little bit to know how high to raise the standard. I see things in the Scripture about giving sacrificially. I see things in the Scripture about forsaking all. Jesus even himself even said that to us. Except the man be willing to forsake all. No, he didn't even say willing. He said, except the man forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And I'm going to let you wrestle with God with those. But I'm going to, by God's grace, going to hit on this morning is what we do with our extra. Our extra. We have needs. There's scripture to talk about meeting our needs. We must care for our families. And we need to be responsible. So I'm going to let you wrestle with God how high to raise that standard as far as sacrificial giving. But what we do with our extra. What we do with when our needs are met. We have a house. We have a home. We have food. Our freezers are full. But I continue to hoard for myself what can meet the needs of the poor and needy. So she gave sacrificially. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Need to keep moving along here. Luke 1, verse 52. This is Mary's song of praise. Verse 52 says, He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Again here, you see God's heart for the poor. God desires that the poor be filled with good things. And he, it seems, sets himself to minister to the poor and needy. But this is rich, he sent away empty. Is God's value system ours? Do we see poor as not necessarily a curse? But those that have the blessing of God on their lives, blessed be poor. One other thing I want to hit on here in this verse is, we see God's heart for the poor. And if we're to be after God's own heart, shouldn't we have that same desire to fill the poor with good things? Amen? You see what I'm saying there? Are we God-like? Are we godly in that we say, well, I don't need this. They need it much worse than I do. I'm going to pass that on to them. That's God's heart. And the beautiful thing about God is that He has committed Himself to give to those who give. Amen? He says, give and it shall be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And is it just so that we get to now lavish on ourselves? No, I think He's looking for those brothers and sisters who have His heart that want to fill the poor with good things. And so when He sees a man that is willing to be a vessel and that passes it on, He gives more so He can pass it on. George Mueller, if you look at his life, was a good example of that. Much was given to him, but he passed much on, I believe, even to missionary China. Hudson Taylor, I believe, I don't know my history as good as some of you all do. He passed on much, and God continued to give to him. So God gives. God has a heart for the poor. Brothers, let's embrace God's heart for the poor, and let's not develop a selfish me mentality. Are we filling the hungry with good things? Luke 3, verse 10. This is John the Baptist. Now he comes on the scene, begins to preach to prepare the way for the Lord. Amen. He came to bring down the high places, fill up the valleys, to prepare a people for the Lord. And he was preaching the gospel of repentance. And people started flocking. People were interested. People started coming to see what this voice crying in the wilderness was saying. And he saw him coming and he thought, are these people serious? How can I know that this person truly is repentant? How can I determine that this man has had a change of heart and is really true? He says, don't think to say that Abraham's your father. He says, bring forth evidence to me that you really are repentant. And what did he say? What was evidence to Brother John here that these people were truly repentant? They said, what should we do? And one of the things he said, two things he said here, in verse 10, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that has none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Why should I have two if he has none? Isn't that the epitome of selfishness? How can I say that I love God? How can that be a change of heart? If I have two, he has none. You know, something we try to do, forbid our children to do, is if we're here at fellowship meal, and if we go through the line earlier, and when there's a big crowd here, we can be pretty much done eating, and there's still people that haven't gone through the line yet. And our children will say, can I go up and get some more this? And we say, no, wait, these other people haven't eaten yet. We should let them go first, and then if there's leftovers, then you can go get some seconds. He that hath two coats, let him give to him that hath none. I believe, brothers and sisters, if we could let this sink into our hearts, I wouldn't have to say anything else today or tomorrow about this. If this would really, if God could impress this truth on our hearts, why should I keep adding to my assets? If my needs are met, I have enough and to give. When there's starving people, when there's people that haven't heard the gospel, when there's people, brothers and sisters, that are needing Bibles. Would John be convinced if you came to him and said, I want to be baptized? Would he go look at your wardrobe and see how many coats you have? You know, coats, you know, that's just a figure in this message here. I mean, you can't really, it's not really, it's more practical to send a check to Cam than to try to ship your coat over to Yemen. Right? I mean, I'm not saying you should send your coat, but I'm using it as an illustration. Would John go look through your wardrobe? Would John look in your deep freezers? Would John look in your parking lot? Would John look at your property or properties? Would John be convinced if he visited us that we really are ready for baptism? We don't allow our children to go for seconds until everyone else has had firsts. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 13-34. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed, and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We'll stop there for a little bit, then we'll read on. But what stood out to me so much as I looked at this here, what really hit me, I guess I should say, what gripped me was, you don't read that Jesus showed this man any compassion. Or any, I'm not saying he wasn't compassionate. I'm sure he felt for the man in one sense, but yet he didn't have a pity party for this fellow. You know? And think about it. Put yourself in this man's shoes. Okay, your parents died and your greedy brother goes and he snatches inheritance. That's big stuff, right? The inheritance. I mean, your dad, mom's property, you know, that should be divided equally. I mean, down to the dollar. I mean, we want to cut this thing right and make sure everybody gets treated fairly here. But this guy goes and he grabs it and he's not letting me have any of it. That's the picture I get. You know, a legitimate sore feeling, wouldn't you say? I mean, that would be hard to be cut out from the inheritance of your parents. That's a big stuff. But Jesus didn't really give him any time. He didn't even sympathize with him. He didn't even say, oh, I feel sorry for you. That was really dirty for him to do that to you. He says, man, who made me a judge and a divider over you? Then what did he go on right on the heels of that to say? He says to them, it wasn't just specifically to him, he says to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. That man was coveting what really should have been his rightfully, but he was coveting after that, and that was wrong. For man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You know, we have such a hard time. I'm sure you look at the show altars, what do you think about? Butcher shop. Think of Donald Tarr, you think about gate shop, sawmill. Think of Leonard Gunther, barn shop. You know, Malin Martin, small engine shop. You know, we think of people in light of what they have. I don't know if that's wrong, but Jesus does not know people after the flesh. He sees in a whole different perspective. And we need to be like him and get our eyes off of stuff and focus on what Jesus focuses on. And that is rich toward God. So how would you feel if you were in this man's shoes and Jesus told you what he told him? You know, I wonder if as much as this man's heart was towards that, this is mine. That's not right for him to do it to me. If that's how he was feeling, and that's his attitude towards things, I wonder if Jesus would have told him the very same thing he told the rich young ruler if he did have it. You follow what I'm saying there? Because it doesn't seem like his focus was single. So maybe he would have told, if he would have gotten it, maybe he would have told him, sell and give. And so, either way, Jesus is calling him to think about the spiritual. Then he goes on to say, verse 16, Jesus follows right on through. There's no break here in your Bible. Verse 16, he's speaking about covetousness here. He's speaking about having focus on the things that we want in this life, what we think belongs to us. And he says, spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man, he was already rich, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It sounds like retirement. And God said to him, thou fool. It's a hard word. That was a very foolish thing to do. The world will call it a wise thing to do. And that influence affects us. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose things shall they be? That man thought they were his, didn't he? He thought, I farmed it, I earned it, it's mine, I can do with it what I want. But God says, I'm going to show you whose they are. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So I ask the question, would it be right to do what that rich man did if we first gave God a tenth? I don't think so. You're still laying up treasure, aren't you? If you don't, he was already rich. He didn't need it. What did God want him to do? What would have been? God called him a fool, and he said, you did foolishly, in other words. So what would God have called the wise thing to do? Distribute. Don't you think there was many poor laborers that he probably worked in his very fields? Don't you think those were some of the ones that were going to cry against him? And those riches were going to eat the rust of his riches were going to eat his flesh as it were fire. God's heart would have been for him to look, say, the Lord has really blessed my crops. I had a good year. I don't need this. I mean, think of the so-and-sos down the road. They are struggling. They're having a hard time making ends meet. Why don't we pass this off to them? And these over here, just think about the possibilities that can come in as you get your focus off yourself and on others. And you're laying up treasure in heaven. You know, if he had done that, he wouldn't have lost it. In giving to the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, we keep. He lost it all because he tried to keep it. If he would have gave it, he would have kept it. And Jesus talks about hundredfold returns. That blows your mind. Or that should blow your mind. That should be huge to us. But he didn't. He thought of him, and brothers and sisters, that's my burden. As riches increase, all of a sudden, temptations increase. Possibilities increase. Things you could do. Things you don't need. You already have all you need. But, I could do this now. I could do that. I could do this. And The poor, they can't afford it. So it's not a temptation. They're trying to survive. But, and so many things become temptations to the rich because of possibilities that open up that otherwise would be not possible. So what should we do if we have a good year? Things go well for us. You going to say something? Okay. I think it's good to think about these things. If God called him a fool, and we know what he should have done, what should we do if we have a good year? God blesses our crops. Instead of thinking, I was smart. I'm a good farmer. I figured out how to do it. This is mine. Sure, I'll give God a tenth, but I'm going to use the rest to do what I want to do. We should think about others. Remember the three categories? Needs, self, and others. What will God pull out of his recording of your checkbook register on Judgment Day? And look at those categories and determine whether you had his love in your heart. Determine whether you have truly repented. So do you have two coats? The rich man had two coats, but he kept both for himself. But then, we start asking the question, if I do that, if I give that excess away, what if something happens to me? What if I get sick next year? What if my baby gets sick and I have to have his big hospital bill? Or what if? There's no end to the what ifs. Did Jesus know that we wanted those things? He did. Let's read on. He knew we'd ask those questions. If we give our riches away, what if something happens and we can't meet our needs? Jesus knew we would wonder that. Verse 22, reading on the same context. He saith unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. That means don't worry, don't be anxious. Give and trust God. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. This is Jesus' words. For the life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Adding a foot and a half to your height seems pretty big to me, but Jesus says that's a least thing. Why are you worried about this then? You can't control it anyway. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the what if is. Trust God, he says. Be like the birds, be like the flowers, and say, give us this day our daily bread, as he taught us to pray. And seek not what you shall eat, what you shall drink. Okay, I jumped ahead, didn't I? Verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothe the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth ye hath need of these things. So God knows. God knows. He told us not to worry. Just commit it to him. Trust him. God's well able to orchestrate things. He's well able. We've seen his faithfulness. Have we not all seen his faithfulness? Yes, we have. I can testify. God's been very faithful. He's met our needs abundantly. He says here, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, brothers and sisters, there will your heart be also. If you invest in heaven, you serve people, you serve the Lord, you invest energy, you minister, you care, your heart will go right there. Do you struggle? You read Colossians and it says, set your heart on things above. And you just try to get your heart up there, but it comes right down. You work. Why can I not have my heart more in heaven? Well, I tell you the secret. The secret is to begin to make investments in heaven. And your heart will be there. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I thought about the manna, you know, in this context of worry. You know, God forbade them to keep manna for the next day. Right? I just read that the other day. And I felt the Lord impress on my heart. It seemed like that this would fit in here. And it does so well. God, you know, remember Moses says, don't save it for the next day. Use it all up today. You know, share, just use it up. Share it or whatever. Don't, you know, because they were out in the wilderness, right? And they're like, if I eat it all up, what if it don't come down tomorrow, you know? And I'm going to save some just in case God doesn't give manna tomorrow. And what happened? It bred worms and stank. It, you know, it's the picture of the moth and the rust corrupting it. God wanted them to say, give us this day our daily bread. Depend on Him. Lord, we're trusting You. Am I saying that if our car gets a flat tire, that should wipe us out financially if we're a family? I'm not saying that. I think any business, any household, anything needs to have a certain amount of money to function. It does. You know, the butcher shop, it needs, you know, you have payroll, you have supplies, you have things. But what do you do when that grows? Do you continue to invest it back into itself and just build, just, or if it's enough, meet the needs, I'm able to give, and just begin to have that heart of God that's a channel. You know, I get excited when I think about cutting up meat for the kingdom. You know, I get excited about that. You know, we're feeding the hungry. We're helping our brothers and sisters with their needs. And we're, you know, we have enough, we abound, and we give. I get excited with that. He says, sell that you have. If you have extra stuff, get rid of it. Strip yourself down and be lean and running well. And not bogged down and hindered with the cares of this life. Free yourself. Get rid of stuff. Free yourself to serve the Lord. Put your treasure in heaven. You know, we like to twist that thing around and say, I can have these riches as long as my heart isn't attached to it. That's exactly opposite of what Jesus said. He says, put the riches in heaven and your heart will be there. Don't flip it around on Jesus. Don't do that to Him. It's not what He said. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Verse 1. There was a certain, he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do if my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, and I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. Sorry. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their home houses. So he called every one his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of unrighteous mammon, that when they fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give unto you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And they said unto him, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You know, that hit me in a new way there as I studied. I've heard this scripture many times, that that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. And I never thought about it being in the context of wealth and covetousness. I mean, if you look at the context here, it says the Pharisees were covetous, and then Jesus said this back to them. So, money is highly esteemed. And it seems like that's what Jesus means by it's abomination in the sight of God. Correct me if I'm wrong. Look at it yourself. In verse 13 there, the rich young ruler would have been just glad to serve two masters, would he not? He would have been glad to be able to serve two masters. Jesus said, take your pick. It's one, it's me, or it's your stuff. And we face that same thing. We want to serve God and be rich. But it won't work. It'll make you unfruitful and it'll cost you your soul. Unless you handle that fire very carefully. So I want to just talk a little bit here about how we're stewards and not owners. Because there's a deception that comes as we work. We think, I earned it, it's mine. And here in this context, we see a man who was a steward. And it seems here that God is saying to God is saying that just like this man was a steward, and he could write out those checks. He was legally right in writing out those checks. His master had entrusted it to him. And it's similar to God. God has given us our money. It's his money. We're simply to be that vessel, that channel that he uses to serve it in his kingdom. So what do we do with it? Do I think it's mine? Or am I using it according to his directions, to his directives? And the encouragement here is Jesus says to us, make friends. Make friends with your unrighteous mammon. This money that you have, you're a steward of, make friends that will receive you into everlasting habitation. You know, won't they be friends if you clothe them, if you fed them, if it was because of you that the gospel went to them, the Bibles went to them, and then they're in heaven and they welcome you there. Wouldn't that be much more glorious than having the poor there accusing you, having that rusty wealth eating your flesh as it were fire, having accusing fingers pointing at you on judgment as God looks at those accounts, needs, self, and others? Wouldn't it be much more glorious to have friends welcome you there? You know, I'm here because you minister to me in your stewardship. Does that make sense? I have to keep moving. I'm sorry. Just a few more here. Very quickly, turn to Luke chapter 16. I'll just tell the story. We know the story very well. It's the rich man and Lazarus. Who was the rich man? Well, I mean, the rich man was the rich man. And Lazarus was this poor beggar that lay at his doorstep. And you know the story. They both die and they both go to eternity. And the rich man finds himself in hell and the flames. And the accusation is that you in your lifetime received what? Good things. It doesn't say that he was a wicked man. It simply gives the idea that he had more than he needed, and he didn't care about the poor in the world. He fared sumptuously. He kept it for himself. he didn't give into the others' account. And I'm not talking about earning our salvation through giving. The Bible says if we give all our goods to the poor and not have love, it profits us nothing. But it's something that God says here. You don't read that he's a wicked man, other than that fact there. And that was very wicked. I got the picture of maybe you're on this boat out on this lake, and there's this poor drowning man out here in the water breathing his last. He's crying for help, and he's saying, somebody save me. And you there, you're holding that life ring in your hand. He said, well, I might need it after a while. I don't think I'm going to throw it to him because I might fall into, I might need this thing. And you let him die while you clutch that life ring thinking someday I might need this thing. Isn't that what it is, brothers and sisters? When we have, John says, if a man see his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Is that what Jesus is saying here? They're judged based on what they did. with what God had entrusted to them. So here the rich man's crying out for in his torments. And Abraham says, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. And now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." The Bible doesn't say that he was a wicked man. It would even seem that he was a Jew. He probably tithed on that money. All the Bible says, he was rich, and he did not help the poor man at his gate. What we do with our money will affect our eternal destiny. Money matters. Do we lay up for ourselves, or do we sell and give? Are we self-focused, or are we others-focused? Do we have two coats while our brother has none? Are you helping the poor at your gate? And in today's world, the gate is big. CAM is all over the world. The needs are at our doorstep. Are we continuing to deposit in that self account or others account? Luke 19. And this will be our last scripture here. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran, therefore, and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And after taking anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" So here in our final scripture, I again was impressed that you don't see that he prayed any sinner's prayer. You don't see that he had this special prayer of repentance. But Jesus saw a change of heart. It's very similar to what John the Baptist was looking for, brothers and sisters. It was a heart that turned from focusing on self to others. It was a heart that was into Jesus. That meant repentance. To him, that was proof that this man had repented. He says, "The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I take anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And my understanding is that publicans didn't get rich as he was rich by honest means, but rather they got fraud through taking advantage of people. So he might have had a pretty good list of wrongs to make right. And if you start doing the math, fourfold on wrongs, you know, that could have taken up, you know, about all that he had. By the time it was all said and done. But Jesus saw that heart. It's no longer focused on me. It's no longer wanting to get more coats for myself. A heart that begins to think about others. You know, I'm going to give this to the poor. The love of God has been shown to me. God loved me so much. He loved me sacrificially. I'm going to care for my brethren in this world. And here was a rich man that made it into the kingdom. Amen? But did he stay rich? He gave. He obeyed Jesus' teachings. And I guess as I thought about this, brothers and sisters, I thought about the consistency of Scripture. I thought about the value system of our world that shocked the disciples. I thought about the consistency of Scripture. You see it in John. Do you have two coats? You see it here in Jesus. It meant repentance to him as well. It was proof that he had a heart change. You see, in the early church, as many as were possessors of houses and lands, they brought them, sold them, and brought the money and laid at the apostles' feet. You see the consistency of Scripture about liquidating our riches, having a heart for the poor in the world, and being content with food and raiment. So money matters! Exclamation point. According to what Jesus taught on how you spend the money he entrusted to you will be examined on Judgment Day. Needs, self, and others. It will show whether the love of God is in my heart or whether I was self-centered and continue to lay up for myself instead of caring about my brother. The words of Jesus still apply to us today. Sell what you have and give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Am I continuing to lay up or withhold for myself things that I don't need? Do I have two coats? Will I go for seconds while there are others who still haven't eaten yet? Will I hold on to that life ring that could save my drowning neighbor? So I'm not saying to get rid of the house your family lives in. No. Peter had a house. You can read there in Matthew 8, verse 14. It says, Jesus went to Simon Peter's house, and Peter's wife's mother was sick of a fever, and he raised her up. Peter had a house. And Jesus didn't chide him for having a house. Apparently, Peter had a family, and families have to have a place to stay. And you know, there are those needs we have. And I'm not saying to put your family in jeopardy. But I'm saying, do you really need that second coat? So the poor have a special place in God's heart. Let's be like God and be a vessel that He can continue to give and give and give to, so that the poor are ministered to. So, and let's be as serious today about that judgment scene as we will be then. So let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, you see what I said. Lord, I pray that it was according to your will and according to your word. Lord, and my heart is not to make anyone do anything rashly and foolishly. But Lord, rather that we let your word settle in our hearts. Lord, that we would let the values of Jesus, what he taught, settle in our heart. Lord, I pray that you would be with each one that may be resting in their heart. I think back to when I wrestled in my heart. Lord, I want to continue to walk in that. Lord, I know how easy it is. Lord, I fear as I prepare this message, my heart trembled because I know that I will be tested. Lord, would you keep us faithful? Lord, would you spare us from covetousness? Lord, would you give us your heart for the poor and needy? Lord, would you help us to be willing to give that extra coat that we don't need to that man who's shivering in the cold? We pray. Bless these dear people, and may your word have a place in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.